Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Unlike our first guest, State Representative Billy Richardson isn't new to the General Assembly. The Cumberland County lawyer is in the midst of his fifth term and second stint in Raleigh over a period of two decades. During his years in the House, Richardson has developed a reputation as a fierce advocate for his region and for the underdogs all across North Carolina. Last week, Representative Richardson joined me in studio to talk about several current issues, including, most notably, the ongoing debate over Medicaid expansion. As Governor Cooper has been arguing forcefully for years, Medicaid expansion could provide access to health insurance coverage for hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians. I asked Representative Richardson whether he thinks there's a chance Cooper will get his way this year. Well, Representative Billy Richardson, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
It is an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for having me. I say this all the time, but I mean it at the bottom of my heart. The press is the fourth branch of government, and a democratic republic cannot work without a great press.
We're trying to do our best. You have been trying to do your best off and on in the North Carolina General Assembly for the last few decades. You've been serving in the House of Representatives only a handful of terms, what, almost five terms now in the General Assembly?
Four and a half.
Yeah.
I call myself the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. I was out chopping wood one day, serving a couple of terms at the General Assembly. The rain came up, froze up. And it's 25 years later, somebody put oil on me, put me back in the game.
Well, it's very fortunate for the state. It's changed a lot since when you served in the 90s. Do you have any overall impressions of where, I mean, obviously these are very contentious times in which you're serving right now. Do you have some sort of overall impressions of where things stand in the General Assembly and in our modern North Carolina politics?
I really hope we continue to get closer in numbers in terms of Democrat, Republican. One of the sad things that really weighed heavily on me is in the 90s, when Speaker Brubaker was the first Republican speaker since Reconstruction, he had a spirit of cooperation, as did Governor Hunt, and they worked things out. And it was so refreshing to see that. One of the things that has broke my heart, and I don't know if it's because we don't socialize with each other or we've just gotten into our districts are so extreme. I really believe we need to reform redistricting. We need to have citizens draw the lines and not politicians, because the closer you make these elections, the more apt you are to have middle-of-the-road moderate candidates win. And what I'm seeing up there now is really breaks my heart is there's really good people and great ideas on both sides of the aisle that are not being played out and not being discussed because we don't talk to each other. We don't know each other. I've gotten to know some of the Republican legislators this session for the first time since I've come back. Extraordinarily fine people. I may disagree with them politically, but they have great dreams for the state. They care deeply about what they're doing. And they love their families and they love their communities. But we don't know that because we don't talk to them, and they don't know us because they don't talk to us. We've got to figure out a way to break down some of these divides, and we got to quit playing political football with the vital issues. Every citizen knows we can fix immigration. The feds can fix immigration if they wanted to, but they want to keep that football alive so they can win elections. We can fix our education. We can fix our water and sewer. We can fix our infrastructure. And we can fix Medicaid and our health care. But each side wants to use this political football against the other. And it's time that we get people to put that aside and do what's in the best interest of the people. And that's solve these problems.
Now, you mentioned Medicaid expansion. That's one issue where there has been some overtures from some Republicans. They may not have proposed a version that necessarily all the folks in the Democratic side necessarily agree with. But it seems that there have been some overtures. Governor Cooper has basically expressed his willingness to try to figure some middle ground out on this issue. At this point, though, particularly in the Senate, the Republican leadership doesn't seem interested in trying to find that common ground.
One of the things that the Lord has blessed me, and I've done several things in business, and I've been an attorney. Well, one of the things you do as an attorney is negotiate. The first rule of negotiation is know the person on the other side that you're negotiating with. The best indication of future performance is past performance. There is absolutely no way on God's green earth, and I mean this with all due respect, that Senator Berger is ever going to back off his stance on Medicaid expansion. He's just not going to do it. Short of a Damascus Road experience. And frankly, I don't have that power. I believe in the person, in the God that has that power. But short of that, he's not going to change. He was elected by the people just as I was. I have to respect the fact that he is that way on that issue. But what he needs to do is understand that he is being pig-headed and hard-headed on that issue and say, okay, I need to give in on another issue that's of equal importance. That's how you negotiate. That's how you work things out. What we have to do is give him that opportunity. The perfect solution is sitting there in the Leandro case. We are under a court order to take care of our school children that we are failing daily, and we are in sore need of school construction money. Well, if we know he's not going to do that, let's say, okay, Senator Burr, let's do this. Let's take the same amount of money that North Carolina's share of Medicaid expansion would be. Let's put it in the Leandro case and build schools in the poor counties of the state so that the children can have a good place to learn.
Many of the ones he actually represents, he represents one of those counties.
Exactly. And the citizens could actually see us working together for the common good.
You recently sustained a veto of the governor's on a very controversial abortion bill, but I was hopeful that it might send a message for the first time to the Republicans. They've got to have to negotiate the state budget. We're not going to move forward if it's just brinksmanship and shooting across each other's bow. At some point, the governor, you would think, would have to sit down with Republican leaders and hopefully Democratic leaders, try to find some sort of a compromise version of the budget that might include some of these ideas that you've forwarded here. Do you think there's any chance that can happen?
If we're open-minded about it. Now, my fear is what we've done is we put each other in a position where we can't back down, and that's always tragic. Why in the world have we pinned our entire budget negotiation hopes on Medicaid expansion when there's equal need in the state of infrastructure, education, the list goes on, higher education, things that will bring real tangible quality of life improvements to our citizens? So why pin it on just one issue? We can save that fight for another day because I truly believe the man's not going to cave. Why put yourself in a position where the only honorable thing he can do is close it down and go home, and the only honorable thing we can do is stand firm? That is just not good negotiation. And it would be a tragedy for us as a state for us to all go home and not take the wonderful things that are in this budget and implement them, such as like the rape kit.
I was going to ask you about that. That's legislation. You've been sponsoring legislation on this.
And already they've been testing these kits, and the success is 2 out of 10. So for every rape kit we test, we get 2 hits. Now, here's the thing. With each hit, you prevent 6 other rapes. They don't just target one woman.
Right.
They target multiple. That is a real tangible thing where we are helping, we are saving women from having to go through that nonsense. And we're getting predators off the streets. We've got to pass that. It's just crazy not to.
Another area where we've maybe seeing some common ground related to criminal justice is in the second chance legislation. There have been some bills advancing there where Republicans and Democrats have actually found some common ground.
Two committees that I think that the Republicans, and they're starting to see that the Democrats can make some contribution and vice versa, are justice and public safety. We have two wonderful chairmen, both Republicans, and I'm a Democrat, compliment them. Jamie Bowles, mm-hmm. out of Moore County, and Chairman McNeil, and of course Ted Davis out of Wilmington. Outstanding chairman that let us all participate, that let us all have a say. And out of that has come some incredibly good legislation. The Raise the Age, the
right.
Reinstituting the Community Justice Act. So many good things. And we're closing down 2 minimum security prisons and turning them into treatment centers.
Yeah.
We're finally starting to treat the issue and not punish the person. 80% of the people in prison now have a level 3 drug or alcohol problem. So why in the world we're not treating that?
Our time is limited, but there's one other topic I wanted to ask you about because it's so important to your area, and that's the issue of water safety, infrastructure, the Gen X crisis. Boy, that's another one where it just seems like, I mean, everybody needs to have safe water, right? I mean, Republicans, Democrats, you'd think that would be one that would be a no-brainer.
We need to revisit our environmental policy. I was raised, if I borrowed my neighbor's lawnmower, my dad said, okay, sharpen the blades, change the oil, clean it, put it back better than you found it. I thought our environmental policy, and I think the average citizen thinks this, is that if you take water out of a public trust body, you're supposed to put it back better than you found it. When we do things completely backwards in North Carolina, what we do is we let the corporate citizen take the water out. They can add ingredients in it, and that's what we're finding. And then it's the burden is on the government to prove that it is unhealthy to the citizen. Well, cancer studies take 8 to 10 years. So you can go 8 to 10 years of having these contaminants in the water that can hurt the health and well-being of our citizens. We've got to fix that.
We wish you all the best in the efforts to do that. You've got your work cut out for you. We hope the legislative session will be wrapping up in the near future. Do you have any final predictions for what's going to happen this summer? Are we going to be here all summer, or is there still a hope for maybe finding a final deal?
If we press Senator Berger and back him in the corner on an issue that he's been so clear on, we're going to go home without a budget. If we have the sense to pivot and to essentially make him do right by other vital issues of the state, then we could go home with something very meaningful. I hope it's the latter, not the former.
Well, we'll be watching very closely. We appreciate your efforts so much. Thank you for all you do, and we'll look forward to having you back and maybe looking back on the session later this year.
Anytime. Again, thank you so much for what you do to inform our citizens.
Coming up next, did you know that for many struggling families, hunger is a bigger problem in the summer? We'll find out why and what some folks are doing about it from one of the state's leading experts. Don't go away.